What's up, team? So today we are going to discuss financial objections, how to navigate or discuss or communicate finances with a prospect. So over the last few episodes, I've been going through some various different frameworks on sales, and I want to talk through a framework that I think is important when it comes to analyzing finances. And it is called the value equation. Now, before we look at the value equation, I want to zoom out even more. I think it's really important when we're trying to solve problems that we zoom out as far as possible first, and then slowly start to move our way towards the epicenter of what's happening, what's going on. So, fundamentally, there are two general phrases that get used from the get-go when it comes to a financial consideration that we need to separate. One is that the person communicates complete and utter value in what you do, but they really, really, really don't feel like they have the funds to do it. And on the flip side, so that's just cash flow. They see value, they understand, but they're really just like stuck financially. On the flip side of the coin, there's a value consideration. They have the money, or they could put the money together, but it's putting them in a very vulnerable situation only because they're not fully convinced on the return, the value, or their ability to extract whatever it is that you're selling. So how do we distinguish which of these it is? Now, firstly, you can ask. You may not always get the truthful, honest answer. You can ask. The way that I like to go about this, to be honest with you, is to ask a question this way. Now, I'm going to talk you through a little framework, and we're going to go on a little story for a few minutes. And this is what will happen at the end of the call. Okay, now imagine, bear in mind, what you are trying to do the whole way through this call is to reduce sales resistance. Okay, so we leave a call, or we're on the verge of leaving the call, and the prospect communicates that money is like really, really challenging. It's like really tough, in inverted commas, and you don't really know if that means they are struggling with cash flow or they're not fully bought in on the return of whatever it is that you're selling. So this is a phrase or a, let's say, a little framework I run through. Hey, listen, James, I completely understand. You know, and listen, we've had an amazing call, and, you know, I really feel like our solution can solve your A to B problem. You know, when we look at the foundations of what we do with X, Y, and Z, I really feel like that's where you need to be. I feel like that's what you really need. And I'm devastated, you know, if we can't work things out, if not now, at least in the future at some point. But hey, listen, I don't want to put you under unnecessary pressure right now to make a decision when clearly finances are an issue for you. Let's just say, you know, we don't, you know, move ahead with it today. Let's just say we revisit it into the future. When finances are in a better place. Like, I think that could be a really good option for us. But before you go, I do have one question. And I just want you to, let's just say, you know, you put the phone down. We've had an awesome call. You know, we've tried our best to try and make things work. And we'll, you know, we'll revisit in the future, but now is not the right time. Be honest. What would happen if you put the phone down, get a breath, you know, a breath of fresh air, it's been a tough call, and you walk outside and you literally look down on your doormat and there's $2,000 just appeared? Be honest. What would you do? Would you like ring me back straight away and go, listen, I'm bloody in? Or do you still think there's a few things you probably need to figure out? In that moment, and I literally mean in that exact moment, you will see the answer in their face, in their eyes, and in their tone. If the response to that question is an immediate Chris, man, I would be in, bro. Like, honestly, if that happened, that would be a miracle. I would be in. I would give it to you. I'd be like, we get this going. If there is any, and I mean any shred of doubt or hesitation or pause in their response, then the answer is not a financial one based on cash flow. There are other things at play. That this is what that sounds like. Hey, I'll probably go ahead with it. If someone says that, they're lying. That's not true. There is an objection. And what you've been able to do is psychologically reduce so much sales resistance and build good rapport at the end of the call that they don't feel under pressure in that moment. But their body language gives it away, right? So you're hearing their body and their emotions and their feelings. And if they turn around and go, listen, I just have to figure out a few things. And look, that basically, and there's nothing to figure out, because you've just said if 2K just landed on your lap tomorrow, what would you do? So that is a really, really clever framework to get you into a headspace of asking at the end of a call that will distinguish whether there is an issue with value or it is just cash flow. Now, what do you do if it's cash flow? Then the only thing you can really do is probably, I don't like taking deposits for things. I would prefer get someone on a very easy payment plan. Because what happens when you take a deposit, people assume, rightly or wrongly, that a deposit is conditional. Whereas, and that's not good for anyone, right? Whereas, you know, what you really want to be looking at is a definitive commitment. So at least if it's a very low monthly, it's a definitive commitment and it's not wishy-washy and you get going straight away. When there's a deposit, it's a case of, well, you don't want to get them started because they've only paid a certain amount. You're actually better off snagging them on the lowest like price that you can, or you make a decision that you just can't get them in at the price that they can afford. And then that's on you. On the flip side of the coin, if there's an issue or a challenge around the value, then you need to dig into the value equation. I'm going to go through that now. In the next episode, I'm going to go through in far more detail what that looks like, because I think that really needs a good chunk to itself. But I'm going to go through some frameworks here, for you to take away. Very, very simply, this value equation, I'd highly recommend you listen to or read Alex Hormozi's book, $100 Million Offers. And basically, the value equation is a simple quadratic equation. It's, let's say, you can call it a nominal fraction, where there's two values above the line, two values below the line, and it's a multiplication effect. And basically, if you can visualize this, the two things that you want to increase is A, the result, and B, the perceived likelihood of them achieving the result. They're the two things that you want to increase, okay? Below the line are the things that you want to minimize and decrease, and that is the sacrifice that it will take from them to achieve the result and the time until they have the result, okay? Now, it's very, very important that you don't think of time as in the time that they spend committed to the program to get, like, on a daily basis or how much time they need to commit. That's sacrifice, okay? The time in this equation is the length of time until they will have achieved it. In other words, will it be in 3 months' time that they'll be there? Will it be in 6 months' time that they will be there? It's not actually the time sacrifice, because essentially that's sacrifice. So it's sacrifice, and sacrifice is effort and time and energy and brain power and bandwidth. That's sacrifice. And then you've got the time until they achieve it. So they're the things you want to minimize always in a sales process, okay? And the things that you want to increase is the result. So for example, 10K a month. How do you increase that? Well, 20K a month. How do you increase that? Well, 40K a month. And then also the perceived likelihood of achievement. So let me ask you this. If you're listening to this, you're a business owner, I assume. Would you prefer a 100% likelihood, okay, of making it to 100K a month? 100K a month. Okay, maybe that may be outrageous for some of you guys. I don't mean that in a patronizing way. I want to... Okay, would you... If I told you that you could set up your own fitness business or your own business and you could make $250,000 a year and there was 100% probability that that would happen, okay? There's 100% probability that you will make $250,000 a year. Would you choose that or a 25% likelihood of you making $1 million in a year? Now, before you answer in your mind, some of you will say, well, I would prefer a 25% likelihood of earning $1 million because even if I don't earn $1 million, I may land above $250,000. That's not what this is about. That's not it. Let's just say you will earn either zero or $1 million, but the million is 25% and 75% will be zero, right? Would you take that bet? Or would you go for the 100% probability of making $250,000 a year? I would argue that most of you would choose the 100% probability of $250,000 a year. Now, that's just an arbitrary example, but the statistics are the same. You know, they're both 25% likelihood, 25% of the outcome is $250,000. My point here is that most people like to play it a little bit safe, right? And most people want the perceived likelihood of them achieving something to be as high as physically possible. Very often, when you're selling something, you're better off giving them a realistic target that they feel they can absolutely achieve, okay? Even if it's a little bit less of a result, rather than an unrealistic chance or an outside chance of achieving something better. Most human beings will choose for the thing that's pretty bloody good, but there's very, very, very high probability of success. So I'm going to go through this in the next episode in far more detail. I want you guys to really, really focus on this. Now, firstly, if you're not in the LinkedIn blueprint, and just because it says LinkedIn, there's a lot of value that you can take from it that you can apply to every single industry. We actually have, you know, a lot of clients now from all industries because the principles that are in there are applicable to any industry, any business. You know, it's a very high level appointment setting, very high level persuasion, teaching you how to make high ticket sales, you know, and a lot of the perspectives that are in it, regardless of whether you're on LinkedIn or not, can be taken and used in a fitness business in any space or any other consulting or coaching business, you know, on any platform really. And a lot of our strategies are inside that free blueprint. It is linked in the bio. There's nothing to sell you. Some of you may want to book in a LinkedIn audit. That's fine. That's with my team. That is not a sales call. That is a free audit, essentially. If on that call we feel like you're a good fit, then you know we'll book in a second call down the line. But it's very much a value add. But if you haven't, jump inside the LinkedIn blueprint, which is below. It's absolutely free. And you'll see a lot of the frameworks that we use and a lot of the sales processes that we use that involve this value equation. So yeah, really get stuck into that stuff. There's a lot of trainings in there and I'm adding trainings all of the time. So I hope that's useful. In the next episode, I'm going to go in far more detail dissecting how you can pull each of the four levers of the value equation. I hope that's been useful, firstly, from the get-go, to really try and identify whether it's value or cash flow. Because going into, really nailing down the value in inverted commas, if it's just a cash flow issue, is waste of time. And if they do have the cash flow, but they're not fully convinced, you giving them a payment plan is pointless. Let me just say that again. If you're selling a 10K thing, right, and they're a bit unsure, you dropping it to a payment plan doesn't solve the problem if the issue is they're not fully convinced on the outcome, right? So you need to know whether it's a cash flow issue or a value issue from the get-go. And the next episode, like I said, we're going to learn how to pull each of these four levers, increase the result for the prospect, increase the perceived likelihood of achieving the result for the prospect, decreasing the time in which they believe it will take until they get the result, and communicating a decreased or smaller level of sacrifice required from the prospect to get the result. Hope that's useful. See you guys in the next episode.